Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Carolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Carolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo. Hey, it's Adam Carolla. Is your computer running slow? Well, mycleanpc.com can clean it up and speed it up today. Now, you might be asking yourself, how did my computer get this way? It's so frustrating, right? I know, I got the same problem. Well, opening up infected email attachments, downloading music and games all slows your computer down over time. Running these programs can cause junk files, internet clutter, processor and hard drive errors to build up on your computer. MyCleanPC can help. First, go to MyCleanPC.com, and in minutes, you can get a free computer diagnosis and find out what's slowing down your computer. Then simply activate MyCleanPC software to clean out the junk. And even remove viruses, and MyCleanPC is guaranteed to increase the speed of your computer. With MyCleanPC, there are two easy steps to speed up your computer. First, go to MyCleanPC.com, get a free computer diagnosis, and then simply activate MyCleanPC software to optimize your computer performance. Go to MyCleanPC.com, do it today, and find out what's slowing down your computer. That's MyCleanPC.com.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for spreading the gospel, everybody. Me, us, not Drew, the A-team. Stand-up live Friday and Saturday. That is tomorrow and Saturday, four shows. So come on out and say hi. Teresa Strauss is going to be there. John Holmberg's going to be there. Kelly James, Doug Benson. Good shows, and I'll be doing some Mangria signings as well on Saturday. Had this funny conversation with Lynette because I was talking about having to go to Sacramento yesterday and do just basically fly in, do a show, do a thing, fly back that day, do a podcast that night. She was a great juxtaposition because she was going, oh, I got to take Natalia to Disneyland for her birthday. I said, I got to go to Sacramento and do like a corporate thing and then come back, then do a podcast. And she's like, oh, I wish I could trade places with you. And I was like, woo, I wish you could too. That would be awesome. Awesome. It's an interesting thing, Drew.
You're never happy with what you're doing.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. But, you know, there's the double-edged sword of life is, you know, when I used to work at McDonald's and you wanted to miss a shift, remember that idea of could you pick up my shift?
Yeah.
Pick my shift up.
Yeah.
Call in somebody, tell them to pick my shift up.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for doing four live podcasts in Phoenix or doing corporate gigs.
Right.
There ain't nobody, hey, pick my shift up.
Yeah.
I'm just not up to going to Burbank Airport at 6 in the morning. Like,
however, I do remember picking a shift up for you in Oregon one time because the flight just didn't coincide with your rhythms, your biorhythms. Remember that? You're like, you can handle it. That's all I'm saying.
You and Lynette.
Me?
And Lynette.
What the fuck?
Wired like a chick.
Dutifully stood in front of 3,500 like people chick. And went, well, there was a little fog. Adam got there at the airport a little bit late. And
no, Adam didn't get to the airport a little bit late. The flights were canceled. You and fucking Howard, your manager, it's been a decade of you guys rewriting history.
You guys.
Yes.
I said, let me really remind you the
history. To LAX,
yes.
And they said the flight is canceled.
That flight. I said, Adam, head over to Southwest.
Right.
I guarantee you they have flights.
And I went to another airline.
No, you checked at the gate for them to decide to kind of do their thing. They didn't have Southwest on their computer, if you recall. I said, dude, go over there. I know they have flights.
SFO was socked in. By the way, Max Zapata, would you please
Portland.
Listen to this?
We're going to Portland.
Whatever. Please listen.
Yeah.
It's been over a decade of him blaming me for not showing up to a gig.
No, not blaming. I had
blaming.
Fun. No.
I just heard you. Everyone just heard you.
Wait.
Here's their blame.
I picked up your shift, dude.
Not I got high and missed my flight or overslept. Went to LAX, parked my car, went in to get on my flight, and they said, your flight is canceled.
Yeah.
Okay. Flight to Portland canceled. I said, why is it canceled? They said, because Portland is socked in. I said, okay. Are there any other flights that can get me to Portland before I have to do the show at 8 o'clock at night? The person went on their computer, and they said, no. And I said, okay. And then I got back in my car, and I drove home.
You called me.
That's their version. Okay, but that's their version of me bugging out on a gig.
Now there's two pieces of the story you left out that are critical.
Go ahead.
One is I begged you to take the earlier flight because that was the last flight of the day that would get us there on time. I said, please, this one. No, it'll be fine. I won't take the earlier flight. I took the earlier flight because people said, hey, did you take the earlier flight? There's only one more after that. Don't rest at all on that flight. So that was you. That was on you.
That's
not on me, on you.
But I've
done
that on every gig we've done.
Just saying, it's on you. It's a piece of history you leave out. The second piece is I
don't leave it out. I never bring this up because I never did anything but go to the fucking airport and they told me my flight was canceled.
The second piece is I begged you to go to Southwest because I knew it wasn't on the computers or the guys that were looking at the computer at the gate that day. I said, please, I know Southwest. I'm watching them come in from fucking L.A. to Portland. I'm at the airport. Let's get on the Southwest. They leave every hour to Portland. Let's go over. Let's do it. And you went, you'll be fine.
All right.
That was your response. Those two things that you leave out of history that are critical.
Why does the person on the computer not have
flight? It's a separate computer. Southwest has its own system separate from all the other airlines. I happen to know that because my wife's a travel agent.
I grant you that. So, I was a newbie and didn't know my way around the airport very well.
I think that was a acquiescence of some type. Anyway, it's not that I didn't mean to blame you at all. I really didn't because I had a nice
time.
You've
been not meaning to blame me for a decade.
No, there's been times when I've been meaning to. Not today.
Flight canceled. And the guy on the computer saying nothing else.
Right.
And by the way, when you hear, if the guy says, look, we got a mechanical problem with our plane, then you go, okay, well, we'll find another flight. When the guy says the airport is fogged in, that's why there's no flights, then you assume that's a universal thing, especially when his flight, nothing else on his computer is coming in. It's because the airport's fogged in. So I don't know how Southwest has a...
They had flights every hour to Portland, and I knew that would clear up in a couple of hours.
Okay.
This was the last American, last United, last whatever, but
whatever.
I knew Portland was still
I didn't want to go, but you're fine.
But anyway, I went to the airport. So the point is, the shift. The point is that taking someone's shift.
I fucked up your point. No, I don't. That's all I have is I wish. But it's a good thing, you know, Dr. Phil or you or Oprah. No one can take their shift.
No, that's right.
They need to be there.
And there's a piece of this.
Colin Powell.
There's a piece of this that's extra disturbing, which is, and I feel your pain on this one too, which is that you're so confident, you make it look easy and fun, therefore it's assumed to be just easy and fun, as opposed to hard work.
Yes.
And so they're like, oh, no, you're having a good time. Look, I have to dredge through Disneyland with kids.
Yes.
How depleting that is. You're up in front of 1,500 people being fed by them.
Yes, nourished, suckling at their teeth.
And that the part of how grueling that is gets completely missed.
Well, Drew.
It's exciting. You live an exciting life.
Are you prepared
to
be outraged?
Uh-oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever shared this story with you, but, you know, I've been discussing for years now that people and their narcissism, and that is now extending to their pets and the pets on the plane, and now there's a pet on every flight, and there's a pet, and every time I go through LAX, it's a fucking menagerie, and dogs everywhere, and then the doggy relief, they have a doggy relief. By the way, they've, you know... Those were formerly the smokers. There, formerly, that's where the smokers used to go.
So basically, your freedoms have been relinquished to the animals.
There was a terrarium where the smokers would go smoke, and they've decided that that's evil, but having a pet is noble. And everything in life, by the way, could be charted by the – somebody decided, and I think it was somebody on the left – they decided that smokers were evil and animal owners were doing God's work. When we started into third-hand smoke, and then we started calling free dogs from the pound. I grew up with people going, "I got this dog at the pound. He's a mutt. I got him from the pound."
Now it's a rescue.
That you became a hero, and then whenever there's a hero, there needs to be a villain.
Sure.
And otherwise, you can't have a hero. Right. And the smokers became villains, and the dog rescuers became heroes. Yeah. And it's very symbolic that they've taken the smokers' place from the airport. By the way, these are people bought tickets. They pay their tariffs and their taxes. They probably do a little shopping at the magazine place. And now they want to go have a cigarette. When did they become the enemy?
They're burdening our healthcare system with their illnesses.
Yeah, except for now, every time they do one of the studies, they find out it's quite the opposite. They just die at 63, and they're not burdening anybody. And by the way, that pack of cigarettes is now $6.25, and almost all that is taxes that's going toward the schools, going toward the potholes or whatever. I mean, in a weird way, they're heroes because they fucking pay a shitload. Their product is taxed. I mean,
more than any other, probably.
Well, breakfast cereal, even gasoline, is not taxed to what the cost. Look, a pack of cigarettes used to be $1.59, whatever it was. The cost of tobacco and paper didn't go up that much. I'll bet the mechanization of it has probably lessened the price to some degree. I don't know what a pack of cigarettes cost Marlboro to make, but I'll bet you it's under $1. You go to New York City, and you go to the hotel, or you go to Seattle, you go to the hotel, or you go to the airport, it's $12. It's not $7. It's $12. So that's all just money that's going into the coffers of the city and the state, right?
Yeah.
So these guys are already way overtaxed on whatever their product is that they're consuming. I know there's sin taxes. Alcohol, I don't believe alcohol is. If alcohol was taxed like cigarettes are taxed, a six-pack of Sam Adams at Trader Joe's would not be $6.95. It'd be $22.
Oh, yeah. At least.
At least, because these are six separate bottles that are being – I mean, there's a product in there. I mean, this has to cost the good folks at Sam Adams by the time the weight time it's shipped over and trucked out. I mean, it's got to be $5 to get it to the Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out.
Shipping cost of beer?
I'd like to find out the pack of cigarettes and what it cost R.J. Reynolds to produce. But anyway.
Oh, that's interesting.
The taxes are through the fucking roof, and then we turn these people into criminals and pariahs, and then we bought this whole thing. I don't know when did this start that you could just go out and float this pseudoscience and that everyone picked it up and ran with it, and now it's just, it is what it is. Well, they put a burden on our system. No, my grandparents put a burden on the system. They lived to 93 and 92, and the last decade of their life, they were in and out of the hospital using millions of dollars.
Age, right, living to advanced age and then, you know, going through life-saving measures at those ages is really what takes the dough. That takes
cost 22 cents a pack to make a pack of cigarettes.
Interesting, huh?
22 cents a pack. Find out what it cost average in the city of Manhattan or Seattle or any place like that. And by the way, that's at a liquor store. If you're in a hotel or an airport or something, look out, world.
Back to the heroes. I think I brought up last episode.
Manhattan is $12 to $14.
We brought up that dog that crapped in the plane. They had to land it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he crapped multiple times.
Sure.
Clean it up, crapped again.
Sure, sure. All right. But this is
so. Where's the outrage? What are you going to show me or tell me that's going to make me crazy?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So everyone with their dogs.
Yeah.
Everyone's insane with the dogs. something that happened a couple of years ago to me. There's two stages of outrage here. I brought the cup in. I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I have a cooler. I have a water cooler in my garage because I spend time in my garage. I don't have any plumbing in my garage, and I'm far away from where the water is, and spend a lot of time out there working. I decided to put a cooler in there so I can get my water in the garage.
Yeah.
And what I started doing, and it's the kind of thing that would always drive me nuts, but it's like you couldn't yell at anybody, which is I kept a cup.
That must be very disturbing for you.
Ugh.
Can't yell at anybody.
I kept a cup on top of the cooler in the garage.
Yeah.
And I would keep it capsized
yes.
on top of the thing so it didn't
Stranger,
sit there.
I do the same thing at like the gym. But by the way, when I'm the only person in like the hotel gym, I do the same thing.
Right. Well, this would be like you have your workout equipment in your garage.
Yes.
This would be like if you kept a cooler in your
yeah,
garage
I
for
do.
Working out. You
Which
do.
I do, yeah.
And you keep a plastic cup, not yeah. a throwaway cup,
yeah.
a cup from the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's capsized, yeah. and it's on top. I keep it on top of the water bottle.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was is every other time I go down there, it'd be gone.
Yeah.
And I realized the maid got hold of it. She's bussing it. She's doing her duty yeah. in her mind.
Yeah.
I'm taking this upstairs. I'm putting it in the dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course, it would never find its way back to yeah. where it was. Yeah. And then also, I'd want to scream at her, why did you think this thing was sitting here in this fashion on this device? Like, what did you think? And then it would lead into a secondary piece of outrage, which is I pay a person with probably a third grade education to come into my house and fuck things up for me.
I'm supposed to be outraged by that?
What I'm saying is...
I'm surprised you and my wife get along better because she gets outraged that way too.
Well, there was a time, speaking of wives, when that was sort of their gig and I didn't have to walk into my bathroom in a towel around the corner and encounter a crazy woman from Guatemala. As I turn the corner, go, hi! You know, and I went like, wah! And then she went, huh? And I literally said, shut up! You're in my house! Stop, don't be frightened when I come into the bathroom. You're doing something with your back to me in my bathroom. I come around the corner and you fucking scream. But this is awesome. I mean, I've had these moments where it's like I would come home and I'd go, God, I'm going to eat that sandwich I had left in my fridge. And I'd come back to my house and nobody's in my house, but she's standing in the kitchen. I'd have it every morning. She starts in the kitchen. I'd walk around her. She'd be standing. I'd have to like, excuse me. I'd be in the bathrobe. I'd want to get to the coffee pot. I was like, who is this strange person from a foreign land that's in my house driving me nuts? Okay. So she started bussing.
You weren't literally a millionaire. This is a millionaire's problem. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going. But I like the fact you're giving somebody a job. That's good.
It was... The problem was this.
Yeah.
I would work at night. You know, I'd go to the Irvine Improv Club at night, do a show, sign the autographs, blah, 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 come home late.
Yeah.
Everyone would clear out of the house in the morning, and then I would wake up at 9:15 with the bathrobe on, and it was me and her
yeah.
in the house.
And it's weird.
And it's weird yeah. because I go walking into my bathroom, and she's standing in my bathroom. I want to take a shit.
Yeah.
So I go down to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and she's standing in front of the coffee maker. It's
yeah, yeah.
like, it's weird.
Yeah. So I'm trying.
Okay, so
is the case,
I put the fucking cup on the fucking cooler because that's where I want it because that's the cup for the cooler in the fucking garage. You see the picture, Drew?
Yeah, there it is.
All right.
Don't touch. It says on it.
Well,
it?
I have to take.
That's awesome.
Let me explain what I had to do.
Oh, this is the cup. Is
yes.
this the cup?
Yes.
It's sitting right in front of us. Okay,
let me explain something.
Okay,
I had to walk around my house. I had to take Lynette's red nail polish. I had to put a mark on all the deadbolt thumb turns, okay? And then a coinciding stripe on the French doors so people could see when it was locked and when it was unlocked because folks would come over, open the French doors,
leave them.
You know, go out, clean some stuff, do some stuff, and then come back and just pull it shut and then draw the curtain shut and then go home. And then I would go out of town for 3 days, and then I'd come back like a week later, and I'd be, you know, wide open the curtain. Oh, the door's been open for a week. Awesome. That's awesome. Or the pool gate's been open back when the kids were little to the courtyard, and the gardener won't shut it. Like, you know, okay, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
So a lot of notes taped to everything, me walking around with nail polish, putting it on these things. I would yell at Lynette, this is what you do when you live in an assisted living home for people who have dementia. You know, here's the date. Here's what day it is.
Yeah. Here's what your assistant's name is.
Don't leave the house with just one slipper. Don't do it. Don't put your underpants on under your pants, not over your pants.
Right.
I would go around marking everything, putting notes up everywhere. You know, tell the gardener he's got to close the gate. The kids are going to drown. He can't go through the court gate. The kids play in the courtyard. It goes right to the pool. You can't see it from the kitchen. Yeah, he doesn't listen. He just doesn't. By the way, as I've always said, fifth time he did it, I just said, hey, buddy, that's $50. You don't get $50. And you do it again, you're going to miss another $50. Guess who listened?
Yeah.
Guess who figured it out like that?
I know.
All he did is take away $50. It's by the way, all people
ever. Human nature.
Yes, all people do is, he is a language barrier. He doesn't understand. Really? As soon as I take $50 away, pow, all barriers go up like fucking vapor, and he never does it again. Don't we understand? Why don't we understand that? But either way, I'm walking around the house like the fucking, like the den mom at the special needs home.
The nursing.
Fucking
nursing
marking
staff.
Everything with, and then the other good one, the other one that still to this day I can't drive this point home. Hey, we're going to clean these French doors. So there's the one active door, and then there's the one set door with the flush bolts in it.
Hmm.
The ones where you open the door and you can slide them. You know, the bolts, slide the top one, slide the bottom one. Oh, we'll open them both up. We'll clean all the dust around the sill and everything. When they get closed up, guess what bolts never get set?
Yeah.
Now, you undid it. What I don't understand in life, Drew, is you undid it. You, at some point, reached up and slid one bolt down, reached down, slid the other bolt up so you could get the door open. Now, 9 minutes later, and when I say 9 minutes, it could be 3.5 minutes later, you're closing the doors. Don't want to undo what you undid?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. So now, even if the deadbolt gets shut, you can still just push them both open. And it's a never-ending circle of, Lynette, I'm going to make sure you got to check. You got to open the thing. I'm traveling. I'm not going to be here to do this. And it's like, I didn't know that she. And it's like, I know you didn't know. That's why you have to constantly mark everything.
This is your constant refrain in life is that other people's heads don't work like yours.
No, they don't work. It's not work like mine.
Well,
it's just work.
Yeah. All right.
I, by the way, people, oh, Adam, you're a genius. No, I'm not.
I'm not saying you're a genius. I can coach up my
8-year-old
I'm
to do this.
You have a brain for detail. You know, for
detail? For, it's safety.
No, I don't disagree with it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying you notice things that other people don't notice. And to you, it goes down as out of itness, which oftentimes it is.
Oftentimes.
It is. But you have a, you know, you have that
please
gnat fart thing.
Oh, please.
Where anything
no.
that, anything
this
that
is
moves
nothing.
You.
This is total.
This is in the same zone. It's
this
same
is
zone.
Negligence. That puts people in potential danger.
Well, that's the
twins could have drowned in that swimming pool no less than 85 times
the
course
I
of that
it.
Fucking gardener leaving that fucking gate open.
Yep.
I could definitely have my kids dead or one of them on fucking one of them brain dead and the other one dead.
I
have friends that's happened to.
I know.
And it's because this fucking idiot wouldn't shut the fucking gate that he opened up and he was told many times to do. Please.
Don't disagree.
Good. Then shut up. It's insane.
If you had to meet with the guy.
I'd do it over go to meeting.
Of course.
I wouldn't want to be in the same room
with
him.
Of course you would.
No. I'd say to him, look, you got to shut the gate or I'm going to dock you $50, but I do it via my computer.
Right. And you put a little, instead of a sticky, you put a document up.
That's right. Go to Meeting with HD Faces, brought to you by Citrix. Simply a better way to meet online. Go to Meeting, share the screen, work on documents in real time, turn on the webcam, see each other face to face, and yell at them about the gate. Try it free for 30 days. Visit gotomeeting.com today. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam. It's free. It's free for 30 days, so why not try it? We use it here all the time. Go to meeting.com, promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right, now back to the cup.
And it's why it's here. I can't get over the fact that the cup is sitting in front of us.
It's twofold for the cup. So
why isn't it in your garage? Is there one in your garage?
Because, also? No.
No. Okay.
Because I'm a volunteer at a special needs home.
You mean your house?
Yes.
Where you live? Okay.
I now have to take the Sharpie. And I have to write on the cup, don't touch. And I have to announce to everyone, don't touch the cup. It's the cup. By the way, if you would like to take my cup and run it through the dishwasher, God bless you.
And put it back.
Put it the fuck back.
Yeah.
Put it back. Because now I'm down in the garage and I'm looking and I'm drinking water. I'm cupping my hands like Jeremiah Johnson. Look him up, bitches. All right. You get the reference?
You got a bear, didn't
I think he got attacked by a bear.
Yeah.
All right. He had to drink from a stream.
Right.
The point is this.
Well, who was the actor that played him?
I'd like to say Robert Redford, but that could have been Man in the Wilderness. But I think it was Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was left for dead after his attack by a bear in the wilderness.
Didn't he befriend a bear later or something?
I think he befriended an Indian or an old miner or something. The point, everyone would befriend. That's the thing about the wilderness. You're either being attacked by someone or befriending someone. There's no in between.
There's both. You get attacked and later befriend.
Yeah, but I know that guy. Well, what do you think? He's an okay Indian guy. He's an okay trapper. It's either now he tried to kill me or he saved my life.
Right.
That's how the wilderness works. Yeah.
Only.
Yeah. It's nothing like the relationship
To be fair, wilderness in the 1970s.
Right.
In the 1970s, that's how it worked.
Yes. Yeah. So, all right. Here's the deal. So I have to write, do not touch, on my own cup. I write it right side up on the upside down cup, and then I set it there, and then I make the announcement with the bullhorn to everyone in the house, don't touch the cup. Okay. There's no way I anticipated this coming. Like, I didn't think this would do this. I never thought this would be the world I'd be living in. But either way.
How'd it get here?
Well, I moved out of that house and I brought the cup here. There's two things, Drew. Mm. There's two things I want to say. So I come home one day and there's the cup. I'm going, I want to get some water. Where's the cup? It's not there. Jeez, I thought I'd. It's been a year since I've had the don't touch on the cup.
So it successfully stayed there for a year.
I coached everyone up.
So it worked. For a year, there were no mishaps. Yes?
Yes, because I took a marker and wrote on a cup and then told everyone don't touch it.
I'm still surprised. But
I know.
Go ahead. A year. All right.
Oh, no. Everyone's making incredible progress. Their brain injuries are really coming around, you know, with all the rehab and the work we're doing in the pool, you know, shallow end.
Yeah.
So they're coming along nicely.
Water size.
So it's gone very nicely until one day I come down and the cup's missing. Where is the cup? I start looking around the garage because I want to get a drink. Well, I find the cup. You know where I find the cup, Drew?
Hang on a second. I got to figure this out. So in the yard.
Find the cup on the garage floor. Turned right side up.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Half full.
Got it.
And it's sort of pushed up against the wall.
Yeah.
And I say, this is so odd because it's just sitting in the middle of the garage, on the floor, pushed up against the wall. If you were drinking this cup, which you may have, like I said to Jay, my assistant, Jay, were you helping yourself to some water? Because I don't care. I'm not a germ guy.
Because that's what it seems like. Somebody might have used it and then sort of left
it accidentally. Right, but it's a weird place is to set it. If you were drinking coffee here and there's a half cup of coffee, but I found it on the floor, pushed up against the wall over there.
That'd be weird.
what the hell are you doing over there?
If you found it here, right here where I've been sitting, you
fine.
I left it. I forgot.
If I found it sitting on top of a car hood or on top of the water bottle or on top of the counter, but on the floor, pushed up against the wall. And I said, what could this be? I was very curious.
You know, sometimes people fill in the story for themselves. And so when whoever used it saw don't touch, they had to make sense of that and make a whole story up in their head. And so somehow in their head, being in that vicinity of a wall or something, who knows what they were thinking. But I imagine a human filling in the story and then
human.
Acting according. Well, Ray. Was it Ray?
It's going to get much worse, Drew.
Okay, go.
So I said to
I know what's going on.
I said
to
Assistant Jay. Thank you. I said to Assistant Jay, were you drinking out of this cup? And if you were, why is it on the floor in the middle of a slab, a garage slab, against the wall? There's nothing around it. There's no, I was wrenching on this car and I set it down behind me and forgot about it. The phone rang. It's the middle of nowhere on the floor. Why? Why is that? He said, I don't know. I said, well, now it's getting really weird because I was only gone for a couple hours. You're the only one here. And, here it is on the floor, half full, against the wall, with the do not touch emblazoned upon it. Now capsized, by the way, the do not touch part.
Right.
I said, I got to know. I got to know how this got here. I got to know what's going on. It's too high for the kids to reach. I want to know why. He said, your architect friend John came by while you were gone for half an hour, went to look around. I said, okay. So what'd he do? Have a glass of water and set it on the floor and push it against the wall? He said, I don't know. And then he went, oh, he had his dog with him. And he was asking if his dog wanted some water. I said, he took my drinking cup on top of the cooler. It could not be construed.
This is don't touch in black
construed
letters.
Construed with anything else. It was sitting on top of a fucking Sparklets bottle in the garage. It said don't touch. But it wasn't a stray cup that had been sitting around somewhere.
No.
It was my cup. Not only did he fucking use it to get his dog a drink, but he walked away. That's a new breed. That is a new... By the way, this guy, not a bad guy. Insane narcissist, of course. He doesn't know it, but insane narcissist. Someone who would fucking do that with somebody's drinking cup.
Would you still work with him?
No. I now know exactly who he is.
Right.
But
did you stop right then at that moment? Or
I wasn't working with him at the time. He was just a friend. I don't think he's a bad human being.
No,
it's
just, I get it.
It's flawed, internally flawed in a way that could never recover from.
Yeah.
But on the fucking floor for the dog. The part that pisses me off the most, by the way, because I don't care about germs, is he didn't just rinse it out, wipe it down with a shirt, and put it right back on the thing. That part I get.
Yeah.
It's the part where you walk away.
Yeah.
That's the insane narcissism to me. Yes. Giving it to your dog, to me, is a smaller piece of the pie.
It's a sneaky, self-serving thing. But to have disregard.
Will you literally just leave? That's the fucking insane part. But that's where we're at, everybody. So enjoy the utopia.
How old a person?
We've all created. Educated, 45.
Oof. Huh.
Educated guy. Nice guy. Our age. No problems. Yeah.
Able to have relationships? Is he a stable relationship?
Far as I know, everything's just a regular guy.
Is it possible that that kind of a move is ever like out of context, like not really representative of who that person is, just a random, accidental, desperate day?
No.
Busy?
No.
Out of it?
No.
Desperate dog?
No, it's very in step with who he is.
You knew that you...
He's one of these guys who every once in a while I'd bring home like a motorcycle or a sports car or something like that they'd give me for a week to drive around or something.
Yeah.
And he'd kind of come around and go, hey, that's a cool bike, you know? And I'd go, yeah, it's pretty, it's fun. And he'd go, mind if I took it out for Saturday? You know, like that kind of stuff. And it was
Saturday?
Well, it wasn't. Yeah. And it wasn't like intrusive or angry or anything. It was just sort of, I remember I was thinking, well, that's a big
ballsy,
grab.
Yeah.
But all right. I mean, it wasn't in a negative, not a bad person,
right,
but like
right.
sort of a, well, there's an ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like, could you take me for a ride in it around the block?
I'll just
like,
take it all day.
Well, like a couple hours on a Saturday might be cool. Like, and I don't remember, I'm not offended, but I remember thinking, well, that's a little bit of an ask.
See, I get really offended by stuff like that.
Well, that's just because you wouldn't do it.
Mm.
But maybe you kind of wish you were that guy in a weird way. I wish I was that guy. But that's the same guy who puts the cup down for the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else is cool?
Hmm.
Hulu Plus, baby.
Mm.
Thousands of hit shows, movies, anytime, anywhere, your living room, or smartphone, tablet. Favorites. Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Mm.
Your favorite. Scandal.
Mm.
Your wife's favorite.
Mm.
SNL, my favorite.
Mm.
Exclusive originals like Behind the Mask. It's a new documentary series that takes you inside the world of sports mascots. It is only $7.99 a month for all the shows and movies you can watch. And for our listeners, Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks if you go to HuluPlus.com/ADD. Now make sure you use the code. It's HuluPlus.com/ADD for the extended free trial so they know that we had sent you from here. So, again, support the pirate ship. HuluPlus.com/ADD for all the movies you can watch. My kids love this stuff.
All right. You want to click through Amazon. You hit the link at AdamAndDrDrewShow.com. Put a little wind in the sails of the pirate ship. You can subscribe via the PayPal button. Again, we got employees. We got the air conditioning running. We got the lights on. It's been a nice little experiment, and it's worked out because of you guys. And if you'd like your President Me jacket signed, you can send it in. Also, I got 3,000 Not Taco Bell material hardcover books over there that I will sign and I will send to you for $10, and that's with shipping. So all we're looking for is to basically break even. They just had 3,000 of these things. I'm like, don't burn them. Send them over here. I'll pay for them. They give them to you for like $4 a book, and then sign them and send them out.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more complaining from me after this.
Hey, this is Bernie Brenner, the co-founder of TrueCar.com, and I'm inviting you to download my new podcast, Extreme Biz Dev. Each week, we're going to look at the new deals that just happened. We're going to talk to great CEOs and heads of biz dev that I respect. Then we're going to talk about things that just piss me off. And of course, no Extreme Biz Dev podcast could finish without giving you the tip of the week. So download and listen to Extreme Biz Dev with Bernie Brenner, which is available every week on PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.
Hey everyone, it's me, Allison, from Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend. I am sitting here with this week's guest, Sarah Colonna. Sarah, why should they listen this week?
Well, I think I reveal a lot about myself, about my haircut that I had when I was in my 20s that was bad. The ma'am from Webster.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You have curly hair, but you got a perm.
Yes.
Everyone, I wanted one, even though someone showed me a woman with like poodle hair and said, this is what you'll have. And I said, I don't care. I want it anyway.
Yeah, but then you had a divine intervention.
That's right.
So people can find out about that.
I'll have to listen to find out what took me out of perm's harm's way. We also talked about you being on the drill team.
Yes, and I would like for people to tell us what drill team was in their high school, because I'm very confused sometimes by it, and I just don't want to say that I was on the wrong thing anymore. So we need people to listen and then determine what that was at their school.
Yeah, and we talked about how you met your sports boyfriend.
Yes.
If I don't refer to him as your sports boyfriend.
No, I do. I actually, that's how I introduce him.
Tell them who he is.
My boyfriend, John Ryan, from the Seattle Seahawks. And we met on Twitter, so there's a story behind that. You guys, it can happen to you too. Twitter brings everyone together.
That's right. And we talked about how you met Chelsea Handler and your friendship with her and working with her on the show and all that.
Yes.
So,
and one of your past guests, Jen Kirkman, how I witnessed her breakdown that she spoke about on your show.
That's right. It involves Klonopin and alcohol. All right. So you guys make sure to listen. Subscribe to Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend on iTunes, or go to AllisonRosen.com. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. I love you.
Allison's your new best friend.
Yeah, he's back. Thank you so much for telling a friend and tuning in. Dr. Drew, some news.
Uh-oh.
I just heard from your neck of the woods,
uh-huh.
which is Pasadena, California.
Uh-huh.
There was a story, and Gary can look it up. because I just heard, first I heard computer and then I heard backpack. But either way, there's a story where they just settled up the Pasadena Police Department with the kid they shot and killed.
Yeah.
And the reason they shot and killed the kid is because he ripped off what they said was a backpack, but I always heard was a computer, but maybe it was a computer that was in a backpack.
Right.
Either way, the guy who got it stolen told the cops the guy who stole it had a gun. And the reason he told them, he, by the way, got prosecuted too. So they,
the guy whose backpack it was.
Yeah, for a false police report.
Okay.
Because the guy who stole it didn't have a gun.
Oh.
Now, what got this kid killed, in my opinion, is not the cop who shot the kid, but the inept police department that we have in Southern California, which is, if you got your computer stolen and you call the cops, they go, good luck. They literally won't do anything.
Right.
When the drunk driver ran into my house and my wife called when I was out of town, they were like, yeah, go check it out yourself. Now, if she said he had a gun, then guess who would have showed up?
Oh, I see. You think the guy out of desperation said there might be a gun in there.
I don't think out of desperation. I think he wanted his fucking computer back. And you can't call the police and say, get my computer back. They'll go, are you kidding?
Uh-huh.
We're riding chicken shit tickets. We don't got time for this. But he told them they had a gun. And guess who went and found the guy?
Right.
Now the guy's dead because he said he had a gun.
Now, to be fair, though, you're always saying you want our cops to focus on violent crimes. That's you.
I want them to focus on crime.
No, but you said particularly
people. Oh, violent crime. Yes,
yeah.
but just crime. Not fucking riding tickets to Chris Maxipato rolled through a four-way stop sign a half a block from here. And by the way, that's not just happenstance. That's not like, well, the cop was on his way back from the docks after shaking down some thugs for some information. No, the pussies are camped out there riding multiple tickets, pulling over multiple people at a time. That's what they're doing. They're camped out. Camped out
there. South Pasadena is really big with the traffic stuff. And they actually set up a sting in front of my office where they had a guy just walking back and forth across the street. And if anybody pulled through the crosswalk before the guy's feet hit the other side, and it's like a 6-7 lane street with an island in the middle.
Right.
And if anybody did not wait until the guy hit the other sidewalk,
yes,
they got him. So they were just, there was like 19 motorcycle cops there, just one after the other.
Right. So the point is those guys are busy solving the crime of people that are trying to get to work. The taxpayers are attempting to drive their fucking cars to work. So if you call them and go, hey, I got a backpack with a computer in it and some thug just grabbed it and made off with it, guess who doesn't have time to go looking for your stolen property? They're booked sitting at the four-way stop sign pulling up a public enemy number one. Or isn't it? Look at Max Patty. Want to look into the face of a criminal?
Oh, yeah. I've noticed that for quite some time.
Yeah, that's what they're looking for. They're doing the important work that cops do, which is, yes, I used to teach traffic school. When somebody, meaning if you were in the right-hand lane and you were turning right in a big crosswalk and a pedestrian walks in front of your car, clears your car, keeps going to the point where you just see their back, and you go, okay, that guy's 35 feet away from the car. I'm now going to turn right. Oh, no, 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 no.
Not in California. Not in Los Angeles.
They must step up and be standing on the curb on the other side.
Yep.
Crossing the other direction in traffic,
yep,
meaning all the way.
Yeah. This is Huntington Drive. You know, that huge, you know, it's like four lanes on each side and a landing in the middle. And you would think if you hit the landing, you're good. Oh, no, no. No, no. You got to get all the way to the side.
And
by the way, if the guy's foot hit the sidewalk as you were at 35 miles an hour going down Huntington Drive, that's it. His foot hit the crosswalk.
Yes.
You're done.
Oh, well,
should have stopped. Just slammed on your damn brake. I could slam him behind you, of course.
Right.
Because everyone's going 35, 40 miles an hour.
What I'm saying is the light is red, doofus. That's why he's crossing in front of you.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, yeah.
No, the light is red.
Oh, yeah.
And if the light is red and you're just sitting there at the red light and the guy just walks across in front of you, he still has to land all the way on the other side before you could turn right.
Yeah, yeah.
On that red.
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. When are we going to rebel against these people? Now, by the way, yes, the guy thought he'd get a faster response from the cop.
That's what it turned out. Is that part of the story?
It's not faster. It's a response.
Yeah.
It's a response. If you called the cops right now and said, a guy just stole my computer, they go, yeah, well,
we'll
knock yourself out.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even say anything. They'd literally just tell you now, well, was it insured? Good luck. Now you got a kid dead. And you got another guy he's getting charged for filing a false police report because he got his fucking computer stolen because he knew you fucking guys wouldn't do shit because you're too busy camped outside of Drew's office.
Right now, if I got my computer stolen, calling the cops doesn't even seem like an option to
yeah,
me.
I wouldn't even think about it, frankly.
That, by the way, they have successfully done their job. My mom did this with cooking. At a certain point when I was 11, I wouldn't come in and go, hey, where's the pot roast? I'd just look around and go, oh, fuck, I'm going over to Chris's house and eating. Like, I stopped asking my dad for money when I was 9.
Yeah.
Because his campaign was so successful. That's the whole point. You wouldn't call the cops. Now, in the past, if somebody stole somebody's expensive property, well, call the police. That's what they're there for. They've now quietly poisoned us. They poisoned us to the extent where you're right. I would never call them. It's like, first off, I'm not interested in being dressed down by whoever answers the phone. And then secondly, how long is this going to take? And then are they even going to? And they now explain to you, we're not going to look for the shit. So you're on your own. Keep it, lock it, hide it. They put it on the fucking sign. It's on the sign of my high school, the electronic sign. It said, like, lock it, hide it, keep it. Thanks, guys. You're done with your gig now? Back off to Huntington Drive to write more chicken shit tickets? Fuck these guys. So now they got to pay the parents $1 million, and the kid's dead. And maybe the guy got his computer back on a happy note. Nice job, fellas. This is... Everything that happens in life, it's not the move. It's the move that happened before it.
Yeah.
Every catastrophic plane accident, it's never that flight. It's the flight before it. The maintenance guy was supposed to. He didn't do it. It was fine for that flight. But then the next flight,
right.
The jack screw came loose on the L-10, 11, whatever. Boom.
Yeah.
That it's the move before it.
Yeah.
The move before the kid being shot was the cops not being responsive.
Yeah.
That then created a guy telling someone they had a gun to get his shit back, and now we got a dead teenager.
In a way, you're being kind to say it's the move one move before. It's often many moves before.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is it's the general understanding.
Yeah, I get you.
Now, Gary, I asked 5 times, was it a computer or was it a backpack?
They all say backpack. I haven't seen a reference to a computer.
Oh, because the story started with computer, and then at some point
it must
moved
be.
To backpack.
It must be in the backpack. I mean,
okay.
That's where computers go these days. So,
all right. Well, either way, your city's out $1 million. Family's out their son. Mm. But the guy may have got his backpack back. Although he's being convicted.
Right. He's going to get falsely accused. He's done false police filing.
There are stories from when the story originally broke that do reference the computer, but all the ones now talking about the settlement just say backpack.
Well, you want to know why? Because I do believe the story, when it comes to the news spin, sounds better when you say this kid just stole another kid's backpack and the cop shot him dead.
Yeah, it sounds, yeah.
It's more salacious because what? So about $20 backpack and the cop shot him dead?
Yeah.
Because the initial story was the guy got his computer stolen, which is the one we should go with because
right.
That was a year ago.
By the way,
ago.
It could have been a hard drive from JPL or something.
All right, so you're out $1 million. This guy's being convicted and we got a dead teen on our hands.
I want to talk about something happier.
Good times.
I dig these boxed and trunk services that are out there right now.
Mm.
We have box.com here. Going to Costco, Sam's Club. I know about you. I can't stand it. The long lines, the giant carts, the crowds. I get overwhelmed by those places too. I can't.
Oh, it's too much. And by the way, you with your A-list celebrity status, you can't walk 5 feet.
Yeah. Not so with Box.com. Do all your wholesale shopping on your mobile device. No membership fees, which is another thing. They have to get the membership, blah, blah. None of that. Free shipping for orders over $60, which is kind of amazing. You'd think there'd be more expensive shipping over $60.
Yeah, because you're getting a lot of stuff. More stuff.
Fine. Free shipping over $60. Hundreds of products, very similar to Costco and Sam's Club. Save the embarrassment of buying things like a metric ton of tampons or toilet paper. It's not
good. Down that road.
Many times. Promo code Adam on the checkout screen and you'll get 15% off your first order. This seems too good to be true.
I don't understand how they work, but they work. Well, let's jump on this before they go out of business.
Yeah.
Clearly this
and
is
it
not
all comes
work.
Boxed. Save time, same gas, save membership fees. Boxed wholesale. The big box club in your pocket. Go on to mobile device, visit box.com, enter promo code Adam, and you get 15% off, plus free shipping if you spend over $60.
I'll tell you what.
You not spend over $60 in a wholesale thing, too, by the way.
I can't leave the house. You can't go to the movie theater without spending $60. So there you go. But you know what you don't get the little mini Vienna sausages that the woman is cooking up and the old lady's cooking up in the skillet with the toothpick in it.
Or the little cups of salsa or whatever.
You don't get that.
You don't have that.
You don't get that. Sean?
Yeah.
33, Santa Monica.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How's it going?
I know.
Good.
Good. I had a question for both of you guys. I've been married for a couple years now, and for the last year, my wife and I haven't had sex, and we were thinking about getting some counseling.
Yeah.
So my question is relating to what type of counseling should I get?
Well, hold on. Why haven't you had sex?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Well, is it because somebody has no sex drive? Or is it because the relationship has gone bad? Or is it because somebody had a history of sexual trauma? I mean, there must be some sense of what's going on.
Yeah, right. I think that's what we're trying to explore. I would say there hasn't been any sexual trauma. The problem is on me more than it is on her.
It's on you.
Yeah, it's on me.
And what are you experiencing?
I think it's just, it could be a handful of different factors, I guess. You know, attractiveness, boredom, lack of being able to, communicate kind of what I, think about, when I...
You're not attracted to her?
No, I am. I am.
All right, hold on. Are you on any medication?
No, so no medication, and I got my testosterone levels checked, and they were fine.
Do you masturbate?
Yeah, I do.
How often?
Once or twice a week.
And you're not doing that for hours and hours or depleting yourself or something?
No.
Hours and hours.
Well, I mean, yeah.
All right. Look, sex addiction kind of stuff. Drew and I have gotten into this a few times. Let me just say this.
Yeah.
Sex, sometimes, not for you, because you're an exquisitely passionate man. You're a man of extreme passion.
Extreme.
Sex is a lot like working out. In this sense, the longer you go between, the harder it is to kind of get back with it.
To some extent, yeah.
And then sometimes there's this thing where the only thing that's stopping you from doing it is the fact that you haven't done it.
Yeah.
And it's like you want to...
And it gets weird at a certain point.
Yeah, and it's like now there's this weird energy and it's you're way off your rhythm now.
Well, and also if somebody's angry and resentful and irritable and all kinds of feelings have emerged.
I really think, much like working out, if someone had said, look, it's been a year since I've worked out, I want to... It's like, just start, go on that treadmill. Just get going. Yeah. I mean, see if that works.
Yeah, yeah. So you're telling them break it down tonight. Break it off tonight.
I'm just saying, you're way up in your head about this.
Yeah.
You can get out of your rhythm, and then, like I said, the longer you go without doing it, the longer you will go without doing it, because now it's weird, and it's an issue, and it's, it's sort of a, what it's like? Mm. I sort of realized.
Dig.
I'm very affectionate with my kids. I kiss them. I hug them. I tell them I love them all the time, and I'm very affectionate with them. My family was never affectionate with anybody, and now, 50 years on, it's very weird. It's weird.
Mm.
With
your parents, you mean?
Yes, yeah. It's weird. You know, it could be Father's Day or whatever, and it's like, you're happy Father's Day. Thanks, son. Okay, Dad. Okay.
Because there's so many roads in that relationship that have been blocked and established.
It's just, we never did it. We never did it. So then there's like a weird long pause where
even if you were to do it, it would be weird.
You're supposed to say I love you here, but you can't because you never said it before.
And if you were to hug him, it'd be weird and awkward.
It's kind of that uncomfortable, should we shake hands, should we hug? Now, I kiss my son on the lips. He's just like...
That's a weird,
and we just hug all the time, and it's so repetitive.
So it's not from you, then, this weirdness.
He's going to be 50 when my son, I'll be dead, but when my son is 30 and he comes and sees me in the home, I will be hugging it out.
Yeah.
It'll be second nature to him.
There's no, you'll be sitting there in bed masturbating. But,
in my own filth.
In your shed.
But the point is I don't ever see him and don't hug him.
But so it has to, therefore, you would conclude... I'm just curious about your family. We've already got some of the same stuff. It has to come from the dad. He just didn't have that ability to do that. Maybe you'll lose it maybe he had it when you were a little kid and you don't remember it, and you lost it when you hit teens. Because it does get weird when you have
teens. No,
but it gets different when you have a man on your hands. It's different.
No. I've never told my dad I love him.
I'm just saying.
I've never told my mom I love him.
No, I get it. But with your kid, it may not be as easy as you think it is now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, maybe Natalia. But no, listen, every time
you'll
I see my son, five times a day, we hug it out.
Yeah.
And we kiss it out every time. At bedtime, when I see him, when he comes home, it's just nothing but, he runs down the hall and dives into my arms, like that's the only way we do it. Now, look, when the guy's 23 and I'm missing his girlfriend, I'm meeting his girlfriend, we're not going to be making out in the hall in front of him, in front of the girl, but I'll give him a hug. I mean, it's easy. I see how other folks do it.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, Sean.
Yeah.
Just have sex. Like, just see if it works. Just, like, physically get into that. Don't, like, set up a date and don't make a big deal about it. Just...
And if you can't...
Just physically do it. I mean, look, there's a lot of emotions attached to it, but it's also a physical act, working out. And by the way, working out has a lot of emotions attached to it for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just dive in. That's all I'm saying.
But his original question was, what kind of therapist? You want a couples therapist. It's always a good idea if you can get someone with a license, for sure. It's nice if you have somebody with a higher level degree, like a PsyD or a PhD. But MFTs can sometimes be very good, and social workers, LCSWs, sometimes very good. But couples therapist is what you want to look for. And ask around. People kind of know where the good couples therapists are.
All right. BarkBox, baby. It's a monthly box filled with beautiful toys and treats for your dog. 4 to 6 full-size products. You get it for Rex and Jamboree over there.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I get it for
Lulu.
I get it for Molly Girl. 3 monthly plans tailored for the size of your dog. Your dogs are medium, right?
Yeah.
So you'd get the medium size for Rex and Lulu.
Same with Molly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
BarkBox.com/Adam is where you go to sign up. They got toys.
You're a hero.
You're a hero. The grooming products. I think one of the treats may be my cup that says don't touch on it. It's not going to be the same cup, obviously.
A version of it. Homage.
A homage to me. High quality, safe, tested, by the way. They test on their own pets because they're all dog people. They're pet people over there.
I mean, heroes.
Heroes. Last year, they donated $150. And when I say $150, I mean $150,000 to shelters and animal welfare organizations. This year, their goal is $1 million. They'll donate 10% all their proceeds to help out the pups that need the help. Sign up. You can visit them at BarkBox.com/Adam. Oh, Drew, the other thing I didn't tell you that drives me insane about this cup, insane, in fucking sane, is the fucking stickers. Look at me, Drew.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
The stickers that are put on everything, and you start peeling them off with your fucking fingernail, and they won't come off.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, you know what it does? You know what it does? You know how you get it off? A combination, WD-40, lighter fluid, and Jiffy smooth peanut butter and then a razor. And it's like, or they could just make a fucking
adhesive.
They could just make something that peeled off. I don't want the paper shit. And by the way, it's always sticky, so it just collects dirt.
Yeah.
It collects germs and dog hairs and shit.
When you put it in the dishwasher, it becomes hermetically sealed to the glass.
Right. I have been, for 6 years, attempting with my fingernail to peel off the back of this fucking huge sticker. Now, look, I understand things need a sticker on them so that they have a barcode so they can be swiped. Let us remove the sticker. Make the fucking sticker removable. I can't tell you all the fucking shit I get where I'm pawing at it and scraping at it.
It really ruins the product.
Every piece of fucking fruit has this piece... has a fucking sticker on all the stuff I've been yelling about, all of it, Drew.
Yeah.
15 years ago, all what? It's all here.
The stickers have come home to roost.
Yes, is it? Big fat fucking sticker cannot get it. I mean, yes, if I got lacquer thinner and a Brillo pad, I could do it. By the way, when you do it that way, you will then scar up.
Yeah,
you will haze up the glass.
A permanent imprint.
I have a fucking scale. My bathroom.
Now I want to work on this. My OCD is kicking in.
My bathroom scale has a sticker on it.
Oh my God.
I pulled it off, Drew.
Yeah.
There's a permanent ghost of just dirt with like pubes stuck to it on top of this fucking thing. Put the sticker on. Let us remove it, you ass cunts. Fuck you. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Have fun, buddy.
This is good.
Thank you.
If you have OCD, it's good for you.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for supporting. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.